You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. The Gospel of the Lord.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. In Mark's gospel, Jesus begins his parabolic teaching in chapter 4. And we know that Jesus was fond of teaching in parables. In fact, parables make up one-third of his teachings, and a good number of them have become familiar to many. There's the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the Pharisee and the tax collector, the wedding banquet, the sheep and the goats, and the entire category of parables concerning the kingdom of God, like the one we just heard about the mustard seed. The best definition of a parable that I've ever heard is simply this, that it is a story taken from real life or a real life situation from which a moral or spiritual truth can be drawn. So today we have the parable of the mustard seed. And if you think about it, it's an interesting follow-up to the parable that precedes it earlier in the chapter, which is the familiar parable of the sower. At the beginning of chapter 4, Jesus says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop." He then went on to explain that in that parable, the seed represents the word of God, the saving and transforming message of the gospel, and the soil represents the human heart. It's a parable about how the gospel is received among differing hearts, hearts that are hard, hearts that are shallow, hearts that are strangled, and finally, hearts that are open. And it's only a few verses later that we get today's parable about the mustard seed, which represents the word of God, or the saving and transforming message of the gospel, and how its incredible growth can be compared with God's kingdom. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." So the emphasis in the parable of the sower is how receptive the soil is to the seed, or how receptive the human heart is to God's word or the gospel, whereas the emphasis in this parable of the mustard seed is upon how something so simple like the gospel of God's love can yet have such profound implications. And this is why I think the parable of the mustard seed strikes me as an interesting and significant follow-up to the parable of the sower. Because after the emphasis on the importance of the receptivity of the human heart, my natural inclination would be to then focus in on what can be done to make the human heart more receptive. In other words, for a follow-up, I'd expect a parable about gardening. You know, how can we keep the birds away? What are the best ways to till rocky soil? How do we get rid of thorns and annoying weeds? Side note, Perrin and I have recently discovered that you can avoid the poisonous chemicals by using a concoction of vinegar, salt, and soap to kill your weeds. Not quite as effective, but definitely better than getting cancer or dementia. Anyway, back to the sermon. That's what I'd expect as an immediate follow-up to the parable of the sower. That would make sense, right? Contemplating what might be done with the external conditions to maximize the opportunity for the seed to actually take root and grow. If you think about it, isn't that, to a large extent, what drives the programming in most churches? We ask, do our worship times or does the music we're offering meet the desires of our members or would-be new members? How can we entice more adults to join us for one of our Bible studies or adult education classes? What might compel our parishioners to be more financially supportive of and engaged with our ministries and outreach opportunities? Talking here about the focus of tilling the soil. Not too long ago, a colleague shared with me an article put out by the Barna Group entitled, What Millennials Want When They Visit Church. And the core results were about what I would expect. There are a good number of young adults who are indeed interested in growing closer to and learning more about God, but they are, one, definitely more suspicious of organized religion, two, require transparency and authenticity, and are, three, much more guarded when it comes to meaningful engagement. Not to mention the overarching challenge, this is for everyone, regardless of age, of being increasingly short on time, and the additional challenge in this post-pandemic world in which we live of re-engaging those who may have simply gotten out of the habit of attending church regularly. Believe me, the leadership here at the Advent is very mindful of these realities and interested in pursuing strategies that engage new members and re-engage those who have become somewhat distant in recent years, always mindful as a backdrop to all of that of how hospitable we are, because that goes a really long way in helping us till the soil to prepare hearts to receive the good news. But we must always remember and never, ever lose sight of the fact that it is the power of the gospel itself alone, the good news of God's saving and transforming love in Christ, that ultimately changes lives. That's one of the important lessons in this parable of the mustard seed. After going to great lengths with the parable of the sower, after telling that parable, Jesus then went on to actually explain it, just to make sure that the disciples got it. But then Christ goes on to give not a gardening parable about how to make the soil more receptive, but a biology parable. He focuses in on the power of the seed itself, not how to improve the quality of the soil. It's the power of the seed, the gospel itself, the good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that is at the heart and soul of building the kingdom of God. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, then you know how incredibly small it really is and how amazing it is that it can grow to become so large. And although it's certainly important to prepare soil to receive the word and continue to tend to it, it's just plain meaningless without the miracle and power within the seed itself. And only God can provide that. I like the way C.H. Spurgeon, the 19th century preacher, put it. In an address to Sunday school teachers, he said, "Dear teachers, summon your chemists. Bring them together with all their vessels and their fires. Learned sirs, would you kindly make us a mustard seed? You may take a mustard seed and pound it and analyze it. You may thus ascertain all of its ingredients. Now, make us a single mustard seed. We will give you a week. It is a very small affair. One grain of mustard seed will suffice. Great chemists, have you not made so small a thing? A month has gone by. Only one grain of mustard seed we have asked of you, and where is it? Have you not made one in a month? Shall we allow you 7 years? Yes, with all the laboratories in the kingdom at your service and all known substances for your material." Dear teachers, clever chemists prove their wisdom by saying at once, "No, we cannot make a mustard seed. Within the mustard seed, what is to be found? Why, there is all in it that ever comes out of it. It must be so. Every branch and every leaf and every flower and every seed that is to be is in its essence all within the seed. It needs to be developed, but it is all there. And so, within the simple gospel, how much lies concentrated? Do you believe it, young teacher?" says Spurgeon. "Have you realized what you have in your hold when you grasp the gospel of the grace of God? It is the most wonderful thing beneath the skies. Do you believe the gospel which you have to teach? As in the babe of Bethlehem there was the eternal God, so within the simple teaching of believe and live, there are all the elements of eternal blessedness." Dear people of the Advent, we will always be looking for ways to till the soil by meeting people where they are. It's why each of our Sunday services, while consistent, have their own unique character and attributes. And we will always, for the same reason, seek to provide programming that is relevant and accessible. But at the end of the day, it would all be, every bit of it, meaningless without the gospel, without the good news of God's redeeming and transforming love, without the hope of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, our gardening is in vain. And what an amazing thing God's love is, seemingly so simple, yet capable of completely changing the course of someone's life and the lives of those close to them through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.